Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This week, Massachusetts is back at the center of the national debate over same-sex marriage. The U.S. Court of Appeals in Boston will hear two cases that challenge the constitutionality of the so-called Defense of Marriage Act.
The federal law defines marriage as a union of one man and one woman. But 17 local plaintiffs say it deprives them of federal benefits enjoyed by other married couples. Their challenge comes nearly 10 years after the Bay State became the first to legalize same-sex marriage. We'll have a lot more on this tomorrow when the case goes to court.
Today, we begin with our Common Health segment and with a story from a leading Harvard pediatrician on being gay in medicine. Dr. Mark Schuster is the William Berenberg Professor of Pediatrics at Harvard Medical School and Chief of General Pediatrics at Children's Hospital in Boston. We've posted a link to his story at radioboston.org. It tells the story about a remarkable career, but also about a career that was almost undone because of prejudice and ignorance that was typical in his profession not that long ago. And Dr. Mark Schuster, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
So let me start with you. What struck you most about Mark Schuster's story?
Well, it was that it was not just beautifully written. It was also, I thought, just a rare window onto an insider's very vivid and actually very frightening account of how homophobia can affect medicine. And he was kind of reporting from his own career, from really the very pinnacle of medicine, and as you said, not that long ago.
That's really what struck me, that all this didn't take place that long ago. Mark Schuster, you went to Yale, enrolled at Harvard Med School in the 1980s, and I want to ask you about this. You spoke with a junior faculty member at Beth Israel who was out of the closet and actually willing to talk with gay students. What did she advise you?
She was very generous. I mean, she was the only openly gay or lesbian person that we could find, other students and myself, within the Harvard system at the time. And we would all make our pilgrimage to her. And what she told me, it was the first month of school, and she said, do not come out. You need to get your first semester grades, because if you don't have good grades, they will use that as an excuse to get rid of you. Because if you're out, they'll be looking for an excuse to get you out of the school.
You write that you learned some interesting things about the way people viewed homosexuals and homosexuality, right?
I mentioned to a friend that someone had asked me out on a date, and I was trying to decide whether to go. And she just looked at me, and she was startled. And she said, oh, I thought gay people just have sex. It had never occurred to her that you might go on a date, that you might fall in love.
That there might be a real intimate relationship.
Right.
There.
She thought it was just about sex. I mean, she was just being earnest, but it was just very eye-opening for me. And that's not the only time over the years that that kind of reaction occurred.
Well, speaking of attitudes that were prevalent then, while you were in med school, you were on the admissions committee, and you tell a fascinating story about a particular applicant who was extremely accomplished, in many ways received all the highest grades. He came across as effeminate. What happened to him?
So he was clearly the top applicant from his university, and he was one of the most respected universities in the country. And each applicant was interviewed by two people. And I gave him a 10 out of 10, which is the highest score you could give. And the other interviewer gave the lowest score that anyone had received coming through our committee. And people were baffled, and he was being pushed pretty hard to explain why he had given this applicant such a low score, and he just kept saying things like, well, I just wasn't comfortable with him, but he couldn't articulate anything, and the man was effeminate.
Was it obvious to you that that's why your colleague gave him such a low score?
Yes. The other interviewer was someone who already had a reputation among gay undergraduates at Harvard, where he was also a pre-medical advisor, to stay away from him, to not get assigned to him because he was known to be homophobic. And here I felt that I was seeing this play out before me for an applicant from another university. And as it turned out, the admissions committee, without any coherent argument from the other interviewer, went with my score, and he did get in.
At one point, Mark Schuster, during your training, you actually came out to your advisor, who you trusted, but soon after that, he surprised you. Tell us what happened.
Well, I should say he chose me to be his advisee. I had done my pediatrics rotation with him. Each month, you do a different specialty. he had been very generous in his evaluation of me and his written evaluation and the things he'd said to me. And he was involved with the admissions process at the hospital for residency. You know, he, of course, would be writing my recommendation. The thing I did at the end of that meeting was I did come out to him. I just felt close to him. He was also someone who was always very interested in the students' personal lives. And he didn't respond favorably, was silent for a long time.
Yeah, and I was going to say, he seemed shocked, right?
He definitely was caught off guard by this. And he, after a silence, asked if I told anyone else. And he told me, and I said I hadn't, in terms of faculty at the hospital. And I said I hadn't. And he said, don't tell anyone. And we left it at that. At the end of the summer, I came back to meet with him to finalize my application. And I thought I should add a recommendation from one of my courses over the summer, one of my rotations. And at that point, he told me he wasn't going to be writing me a recommendation, which was pretty devastating because I could not apply in pediatrics without his recommendation. Mm-hmm. I hadn't taken any other pediatric rotations. I had to cancel everything that was planned and instead take more pediatric rotations. I had two wonderful attendings. They gave me the recommendations and evaluations that were necessary to get in, and it all worked out.
But did this previous attending say to you why? Did he say, I cannot recommend you because you're gay?
No. He said nothing so specific. He just said, I've decided that I'm not going to be writing you a recommendation without further explanation.
Carrie, there's so much in Mark Schuster's story. What else stood out to you?
Some of the most concerning parts were the scenes that Dr. Schuster painted of what happened at the bedside when either a patient was gay or the patient's parents were gay. And you could get this sense that members of the medical staff who were homophobic in some way seemed to be more reluctant to offer care, or at least as good care. And so that was...
Well, give us a case in point about that, Dr. Schuster.
One example is a woman who came into the emergency room at one of the hospitals. And she had classic signs and symptoms of a herniated disc. Mm. And the neurosurgeon was going to operate. And it was particularly interesting because it was such a so-called classic case that they were excited that it was a great case for me as a medical student to learn about this kind of diagnosis. And then all of a sudden, the whole neurology team was informed that the neurosurgeon had canceled the operation. And when we met with the neurosurgeon, he said he wasn't going to operate on a lesbian. He'd seen what he thought was a lesbian novel at the bedside of this woman, and he was not going to operate on a lesbian. He said she might have put something in her urethra. He had all these bizarre explanations, but
that had nothing to do with medical research or empirical evidence or anything like that. Right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nothing had shown up on the radiologic film. I mean, there's just nothing, but it was just clear. I will not operate on her. She's a lesbian. And it was just shocking.
Shocking indeed. Mark Schuster, you eventually ended up on the West Coast where you trained and practiced for 16 years. I'm curious about your decision to come back to Boston. What was it like to return to Boston?
As it turns out, it's been wonderful. I have a husband. I have two children. We have two children. You know, it was coming up constantly. And it was wonderful how natural it seemed to everyone, how everyone just reacted the way I think they would have reacted if I had a wife.
So, Mark Schuster, how do you think the medical world in Boston in particular is doing in terms of LGBT acceptance, both within its ranks and in terms of patient care?
I think we've come light years from where we were when I was a medical student and resident, but I still have medical students approach me and ask if they can be out. And there are also stories from around the country of a spouse not being allowed to visit her partner in the ICU, one of two lesbian parents or gay male parents being kept from being in the hospital with their child. There are many stories from all over the country of people within the healthcare system, of patients not being treated right. And I've gotten a flood of emails, and a lot of them are saying, wow, the world's really changed. My experiences are so different, and it's great how it's changed. But others say that they still have experiences similar to mine, even in this day and age. So the world has changed a lot,
a little more work to do. Carrie Goldberg, this story received lots of comments on the Common Health blog. What types of comments did you receive?
My favorite comment came from a woman who wrote, "Oh, I wish my children were young enough to need a pediatrician. What a wonderful essay, what an amazing historical account, and what a long, long way we have come."
Well, that's Carrie Goldberg. She's co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Carrie, thanks to you.
My pleasure, Anthony.
And Dr. Mark Schuster, Harvard Medical School professor and the chief of general pediatrics at Children's Hospital in Boston. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And you can find a link to Dr. Schuster's story at radioboston.org.
Up next, allegations of extreme hazing and abuse at a Dartmouth fraternity and the backlash it produced. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.